KBBS, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, and we're streaming online through our website at BighornMountainRadio.com. I'm Brady Safranik, and joining me this morning, Nancy Tabb and Janet Hansen with the Johnson County Library. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
We appreciate you taking the time today. And first, we'll start off by talking about some of the December activities coming up, including the Winter Reading Program.
Yes, we're super excited about our Winter Reading Program. We've been planning for it, and last year's was such a big success, and we're so excited for this year. Our theme this year for the Winter Reading Challenge is There's No Place Like the Library.
Oh, how clever.
And one of the things that we did last year and we're going to do again this year is we broke it up into three sections. So we have the preschool through fifth grade, and then we have our teens, so like sixth grade through 12th, and then our adult reading program. And so each one is separate. So the children's will be in our children's department, and then the teens and the adults will both be at the front desk. So when they come to sign up, then they would go to the respective places. And so it starts on December 11th. So that's when everybody can come in and they can pick up their reading logs and review sheets and they can find fun books and download. So we have an online platform for audiobooks or digital books called Libby.
Okay.
And that is a wonderful program. And any reading that happens, whether you are read to, so if you listen to an audiobook or if your parents read to you, or if you listen, so however in class, just if you are listening to a book, then that counts for reading time. Mm-hmm. And so that begins on December 11th, and that will go until January 20th. And okay. So the 20th of January is the last day to turn in any of your reading slips, and we'll have prizes and things that we'll give out at that time.
Okay, and that's based on how much a person has read in that time frame?
Yes, and then the grand prizes for the children's, they'll drop their slips into a bin, and then we will draw a grand prize.
Okay.
For those.
It gets competitive, too.
Does it?
It really does, yes. All ages, young and old.
Okay, excellent. And have you done this in the past, then? How has the turnout been? How many people participate?
It's very popular.
Okay.
I wouldn't say we have quite the numbers for our summer reading program, but we're close. There's a lot of participants, and it's a lot of fun.
Very cool. And if people want to participate, how do they go about that?
So they would come into the library, and at the library we'll have a calendar with a schedule of events, and all they have to do is starting on the 11th, they just walk in, go to the front desk or come to the children's counter, and we will get them signed up and going.
Okay.
Yes.
And they can start that on December 11th, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Okay. And then they can go all the way till the 20th and just
read.
Slam it in.
Yes.
Awesome. Excellent. And then, of course, you're going to have some different hours around the holidays, I'm sure.
We are. And so Christmas Day, so Monday, December 25th, will be closed. And then New Year's Day, Monday, January 1st, will be closed then as well. And we'll also have some different programs that we're doing just throughout the month of December. And so they're just individual programs that we're offering this coming Monday, December 4th, at 6:15. The Sheridan College Chamber Choir is going to be coming, and they'll be in our lobby, and they'll be performing. And they do such an amazing job. I can't recommend it enough to just come and listen. It's so neat what they're doing.
Sure.
And then this next Tuesday and Thursday, we're offering it two separate days. So December 5th at 2 p.m., and December 7th at 10 a.m. We're doing a holiday story time for our preschoolers.
Okay.
And we're going to have a special guest.
Ooh, but you're not going to tell us who it is, are you?
So come and see. we're really excited. We've done this for several years, and it's so fun, and the kids love it, and we love doing and providing this for our community and for our children.
If I could guess the special guest, would you tell me if I was right?
Maybe.
We'll just say, bring your cameras.
Yes. And be prepared for fun.
Yeah.
And then on this next Friday, December 8th at 5:30, we're doing a family fun night. And so we've done that several years in a row now. And we're going to have pizza and just everything laid out to build their own ornaments.
Oh, cool.
We want families with kids to come, and we'll just have like pizza available, and then we'll have just a table full of all sorts of ideas and things for them to make an ornament for Christmas.
And what's the cost for that?
Oh, that's just free.
Free? Free pizza? Free ornament making?
Yes. Fantastic. We just want you to come and have fun with your families. It's the holidays.
Cool.
Yes.
Awesome. Anything else that you wanted to list off that we got coming up?
Yes, we have one more thing. So our teen program is ramping up there. They do a program during the school year called Bits and Pieces.
Okay.
And so on December 13th, so Wednesday, December 13th at 3:30, they're doing a build your own hot cocoa station.
Okay.
And so the kids will come and they'll just spend time together, and then she'll have everything laid out for them to just put whatever they want in their hot cocoa.
Marshmallows.
Yum. Yay.
All right. And what day was that, that last thing you were just talking about?
That is Wednesday, December 13th at 3:30.
Yes. Okay. Excellent. And Nancy, you wanted to talk about some history programs, including one that's going to be presented today.
Today. So a couple of weeks ago, we had Theo Hirschfield come and... There were 82 people in the audience.
Wow.
And he was just beautiful to listen to. I had asked him because I had the good fortune of going to Israel, my husband and I, in January, and I wanted to know more personal sides of what's going on over there. And he does have family that live there now. And the article in the paper was beautiful, but he was beautiful. He talked just peace. They just want peace. They just want peace. So today I have Mr. John Egan at 3:00 in the library. And this is part of our adult programming. I've had people ask if they can bring kids. And it's not that we want to not have kids, but we want to have programs available for adults, you know. And it's kind of hard. But this is another wonderful history talk. John Egan lives here, and he is... he's a historian, and he's going to be talking on Palestine and Israel through the lens of Zionism and the Nakba. So Mr. Egan has taught the history of genocides in the 20th century at Sheridan College and the University of Kansas. Several years ago, he spoke about the Holocaust at Bomber Mountain, and many people, when they see that he's speaking, they're like, oh, I heard him when he did that, and, you know, we were all in tears. It was so beautiful. He's just a wonderful teacher. So, yeah, today at 3, all are welcome, except the little kids, I guess,
yeah.
Adults. And, yeah, so then my other news in the history room is very exciting to me personally, and two volunteers. I have Jeanette Gray and Dolly Fraley, which I'll tell y'all, in my southern y'all, I couldn't have done this without those two ladies, and Steve Raza, because we have this publisher in-house. He's back working part-time with us all, and we're excited about that. And yeah, we're going to tell you about our new staff members as well, but
absolutely.
Steve's not new. He's just kind of
back
with us. And so we took a manuscript that a dear friend of mine gave the library and some of his friends. It's called Backtracking, and his name is Fred K. Gray. Many of you remember him as the gentleman that would walk everywhere, and you were afraid he might fall down because he was 98, but he was in great shape. But so he donated a lot of things to the Jim Gatchell Museum and to the library, and he was born here. He loved Johnson County. He loved Buffalo. And he himself published a book, Never a Dull Moment, about his brother. He had an unusual family. His dad had two wives, and his brothers were 25 years older than him.
Wow.
Daddy remarried a young girl, obviously, and had several children. Lola Pheasant was one, so I think there were five girls and two boys. We had two different families. But so Fred published his brothers. He was charmed by this 25 years ahead of him growing up in Buffalo. So he took his notes and published that book. Well, he gave us his in a wonderful notebook that Clear Creek Printers did for him.
Okay.
I remember helping Mr. Gray a lot. He would come in the history room. He was my go-to source, like, hey, can you remember this and save me hours of research? But he gave a lot of people this manuscript and the library, and then we lost him a year ago. So with this manuscript in hand and us, the volunteers and myself, reading his beautiful story. It's beautiful. And I began telling people about these beautiful stories, and I'm currently reading it at Agape, and they just love, you know, they grew up with him, and they know all these people. So I had an anonymous donor say, I'd like to pay for you to publish that manuscript. So
wow.
I immediately asked the family for their blessing, and of course they did. It's like he wanted it published, but he was 98. This was a lot of work,
yeah.
Even when he gave it to us ready to go. But he also gave an envelope with photos for backtracking written on there. So we've included photos in there a little bit to show what he talked about. But he talked about just growing up here and his time in the military and sheep herding. And you see that cute little picture of him on the front?
Yeah.
First grade. So he had that for us.
Wow, cool.
And on the back I have him in a lot of different ages. But he was such a dear friend of mine, and it has just been a blessing to work with this and publish it for him posthumously. So.
And if people are interested in that, where can they find the book?
Okay, so this is our new endeavor into book publishing. They will be available. 30 are currently on their way, and then we just thought let's order them before Christmas, and just a smaller batch. And we have no idea. We'll order some more. You can get them at the library for sure. And I'm going to be in touch with all of the places in town that sell the older books and the hoof prints and KC. And just, you know, I've got to figure out how to work that. But they will be available. People will be seeing this because we're proud of it.
So you say you're ordering 30.
Yeah.
Can people get?
Yes.
Can I call you today and say, hey, I want one of those?
Let's wait. I didn't want to do a wait list.
Okay.
I want them in hand, and here you go. And
you
they are going
like
to be the library being a county entity, we have a suggested price of
$20.
So you can just hand us a 20 or a check at the library. We don't take credit cards. These other places, we'll work that out, and you'll be able to buy them.
Maybe you'll have like a Black Friday thing. The day you get them, there'll be people lined up waiting for
wouldn't
you
that
open.
Be great? Wouldn't that be great?
Fantastic.
Well, I teased because when I had people love the history here, and they're going to love Mr. Gray's memories. But like when I talked for Longmire Days, I had a history program, and they said, you really need to put tickets online. And I'm like, no, it's history. And we didn't want to charge. So they said, yeah, let's just do that. Well, I felt like Jimmy Buffett because they sold out in 3 minutes.
Wow.
But they were free, and we could only have like 88 in that room. But so, yeah,
still,
they might stand in line for Mr. Gray's book. But thank you so much to the family for allowing us to publish this memoir, and for the anonymous donor. That was just like, that made it easy. That was like, okay, I've got the money.
Sure.
How do we do this? And then, yeah, Steve Raza helped us. We ladies are really good at the writing and editing, and also Steve is too, but we didn't know about that computer input part.
Right.
So, all right, that's History Room stuff, and Janet and I were just, we thought that it would be nice to introduce the new staff and let people know what the library offers. We both were saying before we were lucky enough to be librarians,
yes.
There are a lot of things at the library we had no idea were there. And we feel like we give you a brochure when you get a library card. Those of you that have had library cards for a long time, you don't get an updated brochure. And wow, things have changed. Libraries, they thought they were going away. but they can't go away because we are most people's computers. We are where they come to do their scanning and their copies. We grew into a lot of that technology, but then we have a lot of great things, too, that we'll talk about. But first, so Steve Raza is back with us.
And we want to welcome, we have three new librarians.
Yes.
And so at our front desk, we have Rebecca Barrett, and she is a gem. When you come in, she's one of the first faces you see, and she's just bright, and she's friendly, and she's just, we feel very graced with her presence.
Yes.
And then we also have our new assistant director is Robin Romine.
Okay.
And she's just vibrant.
Yes.
And so if you need help or if she's around and she's available to help you, she will make things happen and she mm-hmm. will find it and she'll get it. And you feel when you left like, oh, you just feel a little more energized and just a little more perked up because she's just bright.
That's true. She's just yes. a little bottle of energy.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
She is. And then in our children's department, the head of the children's department is Jessica Zimmerscheid. And so she's the one who is putting on the children's winter reading, and she's making all of things happen. So when you go into the children's department, everything you see and all the excitement, all the fun, it's coming from Jessica. She is a treat to have, and she's so easy and friendly and fun. She's a perfect children's librarian.
And let's just go on. So Janet and I both are just part-time librarians, and I'm part-time in the history room, and I absolutely adore it. And Janet is helping Jessica mostly, and she helps out a lot on Saturdays when we need work. So
kind of float wherever I can be most helpful.
And the other part-time, Sherry Kelly, she does all of the interlibrary loan. And a lot of you may know that Jim Kelly, her husband, had a bad health crisis lately, and so she has, of course, been right beside him. We are hearing good results for those that want to know that, you know, they're actually thinking of the future and a rehabilitation hospital. So that's wonderful. But I and Steve Raza, both of us, we have been taking over interlibrary loans, and that is a huge, huge, huge job. I used to do that job before I went part-time, and it is. What I mean by that is people that want a book that we don't have, we can get it from anywhere in the state or anywhere in the country if we want to work a little harder. We prefer to stay in the state. It's easier. But, yeah, we mail them. It's packaged. Okay, everybody that was behind me at the post office yesterday, I'm real sorry. I think I had 30 packages
Holy
of books.
Moly.
You know, I'm so sorry.
And then,
but yeah,
and then we
so
also
Sherry.
Have Teresa.
Teresa Allgood. And she does mostly our youth, our teen programming, and make sure there's plenty of good books for that age group that reads a lot. And then she also she inputs the magazines and pays bills. The library is a big, hard place to run. There's a lot of little things. You know, all those new books we get in they come in the mail, but boy, that's just the beginning. You know, we've got a lot to process that book to get it out there. So that's our staff, right?
Yes, and then our director, of course, Lindsay.
Lindsay, yay,
we couldn't do it without her.
Lindsay Billeview is the director, and she is really doing a super job of getting us all in line and organized.
Oh, yes.
And we love that. And yeah, she's really got us all on the same page, running like a machine, and that's nice. You know, that's nice when your team runs good like that. So,
and I have to make a quick shout-out to our wonderful volunteers.
That's what I was going to say,
yes.
The volunteers. We have so many. The ones that are in the history room are very special to me, but they're all special. They come in. We wouldn't be able to open on Saturday without volunteers. They shell those books back, y'all, like thousands of books. Like, yes. We go through a lot of books that have to be put back in their exact spot. So, yeah, shout out to the volunteers for sure. Our last thing is just some of the things that we didn't know were offered and that have recently, within the last year, come into the library. First of all, if you have a library card, you can use that library card anywhere in the state at a library, even the college libraries, except the University of Wyoming. I think they use a different system. But yeah, if you go to Sheridan, Story, run in there with your card, pick out a book, couple of movies.
Well, that's cool. And very convenient.
It is. And Sheridan, we have a really special thing. We have the sweetest young girl that rides once a week. Where does she go? She goes to Claremont and Story and Tongue River and Buffalo and gets books. So if you check out a book in one of those, you can bring it back to us and we don't even have to pay to mail it. We'll put it in her little box and return it. So,
and another thing I just learned, interesting little tidbit, even though I'm working here, I learn new things all the time, is my son is a student at Sheridan College. And he went into the library there at the college and he wanted to check a book out and he was able to use his library card.
Yeah.
From Johnson County at the Sheridan College.
Isn't that neat? All the libraries except the University of Wyoming, I think they have a fancier checkout system or something. Okay. Simple as that. But yeah, so that's wonderful. And on the library card, those of you that don't have a library card, just you need to bring us in like a photo ID and a piece of mail that's cleared the post office. So we have proof that that's where you live. It can even be a car registration. Sometime we can work with legal documents, but we need proof that's your current address. And then you're going to want this library card to check out at all the libraries in our library, but also online. Janet mentioned the Libby app, and like whenever I'm going on a trip, I said I'd never do this. I said I love books. I'll never do this, but I get my iPad. I fill it with books, audio and books, magazines, and I just carry that one thing on the plane, and it's nice. Yeah, I usually tuck in a book, too, just in case. But
it feels good to hold
I am a librarian. But that Libby app comes with your library card, and it's, I listen to it on the way here in my car. I'm always listening to a story. So that comes with your card. You have to get the app and sign up and all.
We use it a lot. I highly recommend it.
And you can get on with a library card. You can get on the state library system and see all the books available, see the new books.
And it's the entire state of Wyoming. So when you get on there, you're not just looking at books in Johnson County. You're looking at all books
all
available.
Books. And there's wouldn't you like to know all the books and libraries in Wyoming? There's a bunch. More than people.
yes.
More than people. I don't know about more than sheep, but maybe.
One thing, Nancy and I had a lot of fun. One of the things you can do with your library card is we have our library to business section. And it's just a neat thing that libraries in Wyoming are offering. And so it's for small businesses who need different tools, and it's expensive to get these tools. And so
they got a grant and put these systems in all the libraries, and they're amazing.
They are. And we did a training the other day. We have a podcast station.
So me and Janet going to have a podcast show.
Oh,
better watch out, Brady.
It's going to be great.
A competition. And so not only this whole system to do a podcast with like two fancy microphones and, the soundboard and all, you can just come and we'll put you in one of those little rooms and show you how to use it.
So you can go there and use the podcasting system?
Yes. You can't check it out of the library. These have to stay in because it's very expensive equipment. But it has a laptop and it has everything you need. We just got trained and we had a blast with it. So.
We did.
But then they also just have a station. If you just have this small business and you need a laptop and you need a printer and you need just the basics, it's an expensive endeavor. So
I think we have a photo booth, like if you need to take pictures. And then we have this green screen.
Yeah.
I can go in there and do the weather.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you can.
Yes.
That's right.
I think you should, and we should.
But I'm going to wear all green, so I look like a floating head.
Yeah, that'll know. We do have that, though, and it's really neat. And we had the camera and everything to go with that, thanks to this Wyoming to Business, Library to Business, that's what it's called. Yesterday, Robin she had the big square box that's all lit up, all white, and taking photos of some of our backpacks for kids. So you can see what all's in them if you check them out. And we put that on our Facebook and things. So.
Okay.
But yeah, those are two really cool things that probably nobody knows are there. Another thing is we have several, you can check these out, blood pressure kits. So you get a blood pressure cuff, take it on for 3 weeks, and bring it back. It's in this little red toolbox with everything you
that
need to know.
That thing they pump up, they
put
on your arm
you know,
there.
Yeah. And I live with a doctor, and the older we've gotten, he started checking my blood pressure. So obviously it's important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you don't have to buy one. Just come to the library. And most people know that you can renew things. If nobody's in line waiting on that blood pressure kit, you can have it 3 more weeks, you know.
Okay.
And we do have several. And that's really cool, isn't it, just to know we have that available.
It is. You know, Nancy, it's funny. One thing we don't hear about anymore that I remember when I was a kid was such a big deal is sending a fax.
Yes.
And yeah. So we, if someone still needs a fax,
we do that.
We have a fax machine.
We do.
It's funny you say that. We canceled our fax line a couple years ago. Nobody used it.
I know, nobody. But you'd be surprised.
Things.
But if you don't want to pay the exorbitant fees of a fax these days and wait a long time for that thing to go through, we have a machine where you can scan and attach it to an email, and it doesn't cost anything, and they're just right there, so they work real good together. And
that's
you can print from your phone or your laptop on another device. So we have a business center that people might not know about,
and it's wonderful.
Yeah, and when the office closed several years ago, boy, we noticed, wow, people need this stuff.
That's
so
true.
Anybody out there that would like to open up a business store, it would make our jobs easier. So, because we stay very busy with this. And just we stay very busy with technology, just helping people that come in there and they don't even know how to peck on the keyboard, you know? And we try to help as much as we can. And we definitely see that we need to think about maybe classes for the beginner technology. There's so much that the library can do and offer. So now that we're fully staffed, it feels a lot better.
It does.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, anything that we missed here this morning, ladies?
Wow. So I don't think that people realize that we get newspapers and magazines, and we have a room just for reading those or reading whatever you want to, except you won't be able to get on Wi-Fi. And this is funny. Our router just kind of went kapooey to that room. It's way far away. And we had a lot of people ask us, please, not to fix it. They like for that to be a reading room, not a digital reading room.
Okay.
I mean, it's okay. We don't mind if you go in there with your technology, but they didn't want the Wi-Fi. And so newspapers, we get the Wall Street Journal. And that's one thing about Mr. Gray. That's how he and I got to be good friends, because he came to read that all the time, and I was just like amazed that this 98-year-old man was still reading every week the Wall Street Journal. So the library, your taxpayer money pays for these. We've got Sheridan, we've got Gillette, Casper, Billings, all those papers are in there. Just come sit a while and read. Magazines you can check out. And we have just a variety of those. And if, you know, every year we kind of decide, well, this one didn't go out all year, you know, so we'll say, because a lot of magazines are going digital, which is good. It saves trees.
Sure.
I don't mind that, but I've still got to have my books. But, yeah, those things, I don't think people realize we have that room. And we have the three small meeting rooms that you don't have to pay anything. You just need to come in and sign up. They stay very busy. You get them for 3 hours.
And they have Wi-Fi.
And they have Wi-Fi, and we do have the public computers, and we have two larger meeting rooms that you can schedule and pay for and have, you know, birthday parties and baby showers, and we have our history meetings in there. So, the library, our library in Buffalo, people come in and they go, wow, not to mention Lisa Norman's beautiful art right when you walk in of the pirate ship.
If
just,
you
know,
have not seen that mural.
That people do come in just to see that.
It is beautiful.
And our edition's amazing.
I highly recommend it.
And just because I am the historian, we'll close on this. So most people would recognize that the original library here in town is the Jim Gatchell Museum. That was a Carnegie library. 1909 is when that was first February 5th of 1909 is when they first started planning it.
Okay.
I think in 1911 is the year that it opened. And I was delighted this week to go. I was decorating for Christmas, and I was going through some boxes in the basement, and one of the wooden boxes down there, which I like wooden boxes, I took it up to decorate with it. And then I saw on the side where somebody had taken a blue, it looks like a crayon, and written, you know, Johnson County Library, Emily Lott, librarian, and she was one of our first librarians. I didn't check to see if she was the first, but so her husband would have grown up in the Lott Mansion, the mansion house, but I love that history, so now that box is in the history room. I'm like, there's history, but yeah, that was the original library, beautiful building, and thank goodness the museum is in there, and they're renovating it, taking care of it, built out of local rock. The mortar was from lime kilns up at Elgin Park. You know, it's got its own history. Some cities decided to tear those down, you know, and I'm glad we didn't, although we love our new building.
We do.
1980s, we got the first, I think it was 88, they moved into the first new part, and then in 2016, we moved into the now the fabulous library that we have in a small town. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, so a lot of things happening with the library. People need to get in there and check it out. And if you don't have your library card, get down there and get your library card. And I'm talking with Nancy Tabb and Janet Hansen at the Johnson County Library. Ladies, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And everybody keep those radio dials right here. KBBS.